Does it have any unusual design characteristics like the Corsair with the inverted guard wing or any of that stuff like that?
I think maybe the most unique thing about a Bearcat was the original wingtip design for the for releasing the G-loads on the airplane. And Stu might be able to talk to that a little more intelligently. But as I understand it, and I'm happy to be correct if I'm wrong, but the airplane was designed originally that if you over-G'd it, the wingtip would break off, and if the wingtip broke off, it would set off an explosive device to make the other wingtip depart, so it was even in its handling characteristics and go back and land. And I think they got rid of that after they had some accidents on deck and had some people
injured. That didn't work.
Yeah, I would call that unique.
But an interesting idea. Later on in life, they started designing airplanes with what they call load relief systems, and I think that was a real early on shot at that, you know. But at that time in our history, things were happening pretty fast, and I think the ideas came out and were developed and tried in combat instead of testing situations.
Well, they did R&D in combat.
Exactly. Yeah, how many of these are still flying?
I don't know. There's quite a few out there. Not
make
as
it,
big. Not.
Make
not
up
like
something.
Mustangs.
These people don't know the difference.
Somebody
I know where.
I'm sinking.
I know where
here,
four
folks.
Of them are.
Yeah.
And this Tom Woods. He's had this one forever.
Are there any in Europe? Do you know?
There used to be. Stephen Gray had one over there, but has he still got that one?
I think so.
Yeah. Does he? I hadn't seen it fly in a while.
How about Hellcats? How many are they still flying? Do you know?
Well, I think, of course, correct me too, but I think there's five. This would be the sixth one that's capable.
I think this is the fifth one right now.
This is the fifth one, and then
several others under
there's
restoration.
There's one under construction there in Breckenridge.
Yeah, you got one in Breckenridge,
Idaho,
which is Rod's.
Yeah.
You got the one in Idaho, one or couple, and then Fagan's.
Fagan.
So three, and if this is a new one, it's pretty amazing because the population of Hellcats is going to double. It's going to go from four to eight. In a period of just a few years, which is wonderful, because it's a very rare airplane.
Yeah, what's your paint job supposed to represent?
Well, we left it in a bad neighborhood, and people started writing on it, it appears. I know who did part of it. But it's delivery paint scheme. This is the way it rolled off the assembly line. So that 476 you see on the nose that was spray painted on there, that's the last three digits of the bureau number.
Okay.
And that way they could just look out on the flight line really quick and see that. And then on the prop, you'll see it says gas okay. And when the pilot went out to do a test flight, they knew the gas was okay and Tom's going to go fly it.
Okay. How about the color scheme of this one over here? Do you guys know?
That's typical Navy color scheme. They painted them all like that.
How about your airplane that you've got at home now that doesn't fly, by the way?
Yeah, thanks. Keep rubbing that in. I really appreciate it. It's dark blue like this in a common deal. It's got a big B on the tail because it flew off of the aircraft carrier Boxer, and we have a nice series of pictures of the airplane both launching and trapping on the carrier and stuff. And so it has some military history and some, you know, it served. And so it was painted up to represent what it was when it flew with the Navy.
How long did it take you guys to do your restoration, and what's its history?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, Dusty Dowd started collecting parts for Bearcats 32 years ago, I believe. Now, maybe even more than that, if you include the restoration. And Bob Odegaard and Dusty and Jerry Beck and I were all talking about things at one point in time. And over the years, it ended up that Dusty kind of realized that it was probably a bigger project than he was going to get done. So he agreed to sell the collection to Bruce Ames, and Bruce contracted with Ezel Aviation to restore the airplane. It was a really complete set of airplanes. Great collection of not just parts, but also complete aircraft that had various sorts of damage. One of them had landed short of a runway and flipped on its back, and that's the airplane that we're restoring right now. And this whole, you know, it still went all the way down to nothing. It's not quite like this. I don't think it's got this many original rivets in it like the Hellcat does, but it took it all the way down just to make sure everything is straight, and it's got all new spars in it. And
how close are you to having it restored?
Well, it flew once. Stu flew the airplane, and we had a mechanical issue with it. Yeah. I liked watching it, and I was sitting in it getting ready to go fly it when they pulled the oil screen and found some debris in the screen, and we elected not to fly it. So, I mean, I really would like to fly a Bearcat, and I was about that close when they pulled me out of it. And I was like, man, that just ain't right. I don't know what to do. August, we're hoping for August. We were really, really hoping to have this here. And, you know, it's just an ongoing series of things. The impeller was in to be balanced for the supercharger, and the balancing machine broke, and they sent it to another place, and they had problems. And, I mean, everybody here knows what that's like, I think. And we're so the airplane's sitting there waiting to just bolt the engine in and go fly it again. And we hope to do that in August.
Now, does it have a particular color scheme that you picked out?
Well, as I was saying before, it's in the...
No,
in
but the, is it for a particular squadron or anything like that?
It flew off of the Boxer, and it's a aircraft 209 is the side on, just as it was with the Navy when it flew.
It's not a particular pilot's airplane then?
No.
Okay. It's a real stunning restoration.
Real pretty airplane.
I mean, it's nice. It really is.
Maybe next year.
Yes.
Tell me, what does it mean to you guys to fly these airplanes to these different air shows and have the people look at it and admire it like we have today? Personally, what does it mean to you?
I'll start out that. I've told this story many times, but I painted a picture of a P-51 on the wall in my bedroom when I was 10 and started dreaming. And kept working towards it, and my whole life I thought it was about the airplanes. I thought, man, I'm going to get to fly this airplane, and it goes really fast, and it's really going to be something. And once I got involved in it and started meeting the veterans and their families and hearing the stories, it became obvious to me that the airplane was a tool to get to those people and to use that airplane as a tool for honoring and educating people. And I can't help but, I flew a Spitfire down here this time that flew 74 missions in World War II, and you can't help but sit in that airplane and think about some young kid that came out of Poland and was in England fighting for his country and trying to correlate that to what we're going through today in the world and what our responsibilities are, and to be able to look at some of those veterans and thank them and help them, I think, get through some of the stuff that were challenges for them throughout life, and to remember some of that stuff and be able to retell their stories is the biggest honor I could ever imagine. And if you can include some young people in those experiences and let them see what it took to maintain the freedoms of this country and the free part of the world, I think that's really the important part. It's a lot more than just a pretty go fast airplane. It's a piece of history that needs to be used and used as entertainment too. Part of our motto at our museum at home is we're there to honor, educate, and entertain. And the entertainment is the hook. That's how you get people to come and look. But then once you get them in this situation, then you got to get on your soapbox and you got to tell a story. And you got to try to make people realize that this wasn't a fun time in our country's life, and it wasn't a fun time in those kids' life either. And it's something that we're all very fortunate that they did what they did. That's what it means to me.
Yeah. Rob? Rob, you're an owner and a pilot. And a lot of the owners that bring these in, they say, I'm the caretaker of this airplane. I'm not the owner, I'm the caretaker. What do they mean by that?
Well, I'm not the owner. The Collings Foundation is, and it's set up as a nonprofit.
Well, your company then.
Because we want it to be here into perpetuity. We want a succession plan that goes well beyond my lifetime and can keep these aircraft to share these stories, just to amplify everything that Warren said. We all believe in that. That's why we're here. We just love the veterans, and I would encourage everyone here, if you meet a veteran, especially the World War II veterans, take some time to hear their stories. It is absolutely remarkable. And we don't want to stop there. The Korean veterans, Vietnam, all the way up through today, they have very important stories, and we're very, very thankful for their sacrifices. So, yeah, a lot of us believe we're just going to be a temporary caretaker, a custodian of these aircraft. They'll outlive us if we do our jobs right. And we need to do that. But you need to do that by passing it on to the next generation with the young kids. And, you know, there's a lot of our staff, including our chief pilot. Yeah, there's a picture of him sitting in the B-24 when it did a tour stop as a young kid, and now he's the chief pilot. And hopefully he inspires the next young kid who's going to be taking this into the future, because we're not going to be taken into the future all that long. And if we forget this history, it's lost. And we can never forget what happened. We can never have a repeat of World War II.
Well, I know from personal experience, because I was lucky enough to fly the B-17 for 20 years on tour, that when we first started, there were a lot of World War II veterans that came out to the airplane. I'm sure you had that too when you first started. And there was times that's the first time they'd seen that airplane since the Second World War, and they had good and mostly bad memories from it. Lost their friends, what have you. And I remember one instance, a gentleman came up to me, and he had gotten his crew together, the ones that were left, they had been shot down. And he said, "I'm going to tell you something about the B-17, whether you want to know it or not." He started telling this story. And unfortunately, I don't remember the whole particulars of the story, but it was about him being shot down and who they had lost. The point being that when he got through, his wife came up to me and said, "He just told you more about the Second World War than he's told me in 20 years. And it opens to the veterans and to their children and their grandchildren. When you bring these airplanes, they want to see what their father and their grandfathers flew. And it opens up. So go ahead.
And that's a lot of the connection being made now. There's a lot of family members that are coming out and interacting with these aircraft because they might not have heard their dad's story.
Right.
But you're 100% right. What EAA has done with their B-17, what we've done with our tour and CAF and so forth, it's given people a location to go to get together. And the number of folks that have come out, you know, kids and grandkids with grandpa, and he'll start telling stories about when he was a B-17 pilot, and they go, "Dad, what? I knew you were in World War II, but you were a pilot?" They'd have no idea.
Right.
And it's not until they get together and they have that place to share those stories, will they?